Nick and Anas, your hosts for this week's episode of Geekable Podcast, the geekiest show in this reality dedicated to hosting passionate people, discussing our excitement for comics old and new, talking what's hot in the industry, and of course, all things MCU. If you enjoy this show, please hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't skip a beat. We have a litany of topics to talk about, all relevant to what's going on today. We're talking Godzilla, we're talking Feige, we're talking Spider-Man 2, some Netflix stuff. There's a lot of things going on, but no, jumping title, Deadpool 2 trailer coming at us here. So, yeah. So all good stuff, though. Can't wait to break in. But how have you been?
I've been pretty good. I've been watching the Godzilla show on Apple, which I've been telling you to watch incessantly since it came out, because it is absolutely incredible. Yep. And getting into that show made me want to go back and rewatch all the MonsterVerse movies and really appreciate them in a whole new light. So I am very hyped for Kong X Godzilla next year.
Oh, me too. I can't wait for that. And for those listening, look, it's freaky how much Anas and I have in common. Like, we're literally born like 3 days apart. Like, you know, like there's like the list literally goes on. But one of the things that really bonded us was Godzilla and kaiju and stuff like that. We love that type of stuff. So, you know, we're going to be talking a little bit about it. You know, the passion will come out when we talk about that, and it already has. It's almost sad that I haven't started that show yet, which I will do. I will do, because I actually just got Apple TV.
Oh, good. So I sent you like a list of recommendations of stuff to watch on there. There's a lot of good stuff on Apple, and Monarch is really up there. It's high quality, high budget. Like, it feels like it's a movie. You don't feel like it's a TV show. You know, it doesn't lack the budget. The visual effects are incredible. They're introducing new kaijus. I'm all for it, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. And I mean, it seems like it's like kind of online, right? It's kind of viral. Who's it? Scott Russell. Is it Scott Russell and Wyatt Russell?
Yeah, it's father and son.
Yeah. And it's like in the past and present. And
yeah.
Like, it looks kind of, I mean, that's really neat, I think. That's kind of cool. So I can't wait to see. And I like both of them a lot. Like, a lot.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're awesome. So I guess, you know what? Why don't we just, look, we're already on the excitement train for this. Why don't we talk about one of the things that we have listed for today, right? The Godzilla versus Kong trailer. It came out about a week and a half ago now. But I Godzilla Minus One, I'm not drawing a comparison, so let me just point that out there right now, okay? Before people, So I saw Godzilla Minus One, loved it, one of my favorite movies of the year. Just an amazing film. It was so good. That being said, when I step into Godzilla versus Kong, look, I'm there to see one thing, really. I'm there to see, probably maybe even before a good plot, I just want to see monsters fighting. I want to see huge blown up CGI fights, like all that good stuff, right? And the plot matters. I'm not going to say it doesn't. And I think the reason why the last two Godzilla movies did so well is because the plot revolved around the monsters instead of the humans, and the humans followed the plot in a way. So look, just go back to it. That trailer was unbelievable. I love the end where Godzilla's like running with Kong.
People are like, so many people online are like, Godzilla running is unrealistic. I'm like, bro, it's a giant lizard that breathes fire.
Right, and who's souped up on like the core of the Earth's energy or something.
And nuclear energy, yeah. Like, come on. It's not.
Yeah, I know, right?
The OG Godzilla movies, like from, the Japanese ones, they were camp as heck. Like, you'd had Godzilla running, dancing, jumping, like all sorts of things. Don't come to me with realism. This is like, how is the fact that Godzilla is running the weirdest thing about the trailer, and not the fact that there's like a hollow Earth that we're sitting on top of?
literally, it's basically like if you're talking to the wrong person, you're talking to the wrong people, I should say.
I'm very engrossed in the Twitter sphere, and I see a lot of discourse around whenever something comes out, and I see the bad takes, and they just piss me off. Like, oh, why is Godzilla pink now? They're making him woke. I'm like, bruh.
Oh my lord.
Come on.
Come on now. Like, it's things like that, because I love looking at the comments too. Because you know what as like a true fan, you know, as someone, you know, when Deadpool, what is it, Deadpool 3 comes out, watch, it's going to blow up. When the trailer comes out, the internet, it's going to break the internet, right? And the thing I can't wait for most of all is to, like, look at the comments and see what, like, you know, what we call and joke around, like, the normal people, the regular people of the world commenting and being, like, you know, with their takes and stuff. And it's fascinating as someone who, like, knows the characters so well, you know. So I'm just going to your point here that I see the comments for Godzilla versus Kong as well. And, like, look, the last two films were awesome. I really liked them. And, yeah, I mean, it looks like we're getting a mini baby Kong 2. Like, that looks kind of fun.
Yeah.
Can I just expand
the roster of characters?
Yeah, as they should too. Like, why the hell not? I want to give you my take on this really quick of what I think is going to go down in Godzilla versus Kong, or not Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla and Kong. I think is
yeah.
I think what's going to happen is that they're going to find that so Scar King, who mm-hmm. is, you know, looks like to be the big bad. I think that he, you know, somehow Godzilla's going to be roped in. I'm not really sure, but, like, there's going to be a problem and Godzilla's going to awaken, probably because Scar King might be the alpha. And I don't know. We'll see. But I think that Kong's going to be in trouble. I think he's going to get his ass beat by Scar King. Oh, I think something's going to happen to his hand, and that's why maybe the humans give him that gauntlet.
I saw that.
And so I think something's going to happen there. The baby little King Kong, that might be Scar King's son, might be from the pack of Kongs that we saw in the trailer. Look, eventually, I think what's going to happen is that Kong is going to be the one to beat Scar King. I don't think it's going to be Godzilla. I think
I think so too.
And then
now that he has that hammer, the axe, and he has the gauntlet, I think he's very, like, they're powering him up. And he didn't get his ass beat by Godzilla in the last movie, so they're kind of like, they need to, like, redeem his arc.
A little bit. I mean, like, but also anyone who thought, like, Kong was going to beat Godzilla, like, come on now. But, like, I agree. And how I predict this will go is that Kong is, like I said, and you agree, he's going to beat Scar King. Kong is going to be King Kong come the end of the movie. That's what I think. Yeah, maybe not of the monsters. Maybe they won't go that far. But, like, I think he's going to be King Kong. I don't know. That's my take. I think it's pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. I don't see them straying too far from, like, a very simple plot line and just give us lots of monster battles. I think the human entering the Hollow Earth is gonna basically allow a lot of monsters to come out on the other end. So I think that's why Godzilla would be, like, up and at him, because Godzilla has been, like, fine with all the monsters existing inside the Hollow Earth. But as soon as they left, now they're an issue.
Yes. Yep. Man. Ah, I can't wait. What is it? April 12th or something?
April. Yeah, it is April. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. That'll be
fun.
Tell
me about Godzilla Minus One. What did you think of it?
Oh,
I haven't watched it because
it's
not screening here, but I'm really excited for it.
I'm really sorry that it's not screening for you, because you would love it. It's like the perfect Godzilla movie in a lot of ways. Like, Godzilla's used proportionately in the film throughout the whole story. He just feels very grandiose on the screen. Nice. Like, in a way that's just like you're in the theater and your heart starts pounding. Like, because he's very destructive in the movie. They gave him, like, a great origin in the movie as well. You know, I won't go into spoilers yet, because I also want you to see it and enjoy it yourself. But I would say that it's probably
Is it better than Shin Godzilla?
I think it's better than Shin.
Okay.
I think it's better than Shin, and I love that. I love that. But this was just so good, and I felt compelled and invested into the humans as well. Like, I really did. It was a very good story. I just love it. Was very grand. And Godzilla wasn't like just the CGI monster too. It was just, like, very, very well done with the graphics. Everything looked awesome.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Blown away by the CGI for, like, the small budget that the movie got.
That's what I was about to say. I guess that's what happens when
people
could just take
have
their
time to work. Yeah.
Literally,
crunch culture,
what a novel
would be the
concept.
Of arts. Yeah, Honestly, right? I hate the crunch. I feel bad for, like, you know, I've been hearing stories about, like, the VFX workers from Marvel wanting to unionize. I've been hearing about the animators on Beyond the Spider-Verse complaining about crunch. And it's just like, I wish the studios would just give these people more time to work at ease, because that's what really brings an amazing product to life. Like, Across the Spider-Verse was so good because they had 5 years to work on it instead of like two, you know?
Exactly.
And now Beyond the Spider-Verse might just end up being rushed, and they might like gloss over a lot of universes and a lot of different art styles just because they want to get to the finish line as fast as possible so they can hit that release date. And I just, you know, it's a big issue. It was an issue in the gaming industry, and now it's an issue in the comics industry and like the movie industry as well. So it's just disheartening to see.
It is disheartening to see. And you know what, too? Like, just to put it back to Godzilla, I was watching the red carpet premiere for it, for Minus One. And something that the main character said, I can't think of who directed Godzilla Minus One off the top of my head. But the lead character was asked, you know, what was the best part about working on the movie? And he said, how reasonable the director is. Right. And it really made me think. He was like, he's always on time. He's always reasonable. There's like no huge stress working with this, because he's just a calm person. He said something like that and made me think about Across the Spider-Verse, because Amy Pascal doubled down and said, well, you know, if you're complaining about being an animator these days, you're in the wrong industry. Like, and
that's
I
not the right,
like,
attitude to go about it.
Not the right attitude at all. And I have my qualms with Amy Pascal, but it's just like, sometimes I hear that stuff and I'm like, yeah, see, no one, it doesn't matter how much you pay someone. If they're in bad working conditions, you're not going to get the quality you want, right? It's like saying 2 + 2 = 7, right?
People think just because you're working in an artistic field, like, oh, it's not really hard work, you're supposed to be able to pull 16-hour shifts. Right. Like, no, come on. Just because it's artistic and something we enjoy and we're passionate about doesn't mean we're willing to sacrifice our, you know, our well-being and livelihoods so we can get your project done on time.
Right.
I really pray that, like, I've heard that the Marvel VFX are trying to unionize now, which is great news. I hope they pull it off. I hope they get a fair deal. And honestly, as a fan, while I would love to have as much Marvel content as possible, like, coming into my eyeballs, I am happy to wait more time between movies if I know that the creators behind these movies are getting treated fairly and being well compensated.
You know what? Very well said. And I think that's a very great statement to make. And I think that that's actually a great segue into another point that we had to discuss today, which is how the Marvels ended with the lowest grossing box office for an MCU movie ever.
Yeah, okay. I saw.
Yeah, you saw that. Yeah, which was disappointing to see. Look, I saw the movie. I had fun with it. I you know, for what it was, I thought it was a decent movie. I didn't hate it. I actually left liking Captain Marvel. I thought it did a good job in my eyes. I know you don't feel this way. It kind of redeemed the character for me a little bit, because I wasn't a fan. Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, I know.
Yep, left the Marvels liking her, you know, which is great.
What really hurt the movie, was like, there was a lot of like boycotting going on. Because of the whole, like, go woke, go broke. People are attacking the movie for being woke just because it had, like, three female leads, and one of them being a black woman, one of them being, you know, a Pakistani. So that whole agenda aside, they also, the movie happened during the SAG-AFTRA strike, so they could not promote it, you know?
Yeah,
none
Brie
of the
Larson.
People could. Brie Larson couldn't promote it. None of them could promote it. None of them could go on any shows. They couldn't talk about it. They couldn't host a red carpet for it. So I understand why it flopped. And I think personally, like, it should have performed, if it was promoted properly, it should have performed at least just as well as Quantumania did, because it is on par for the course. So yeah, I see. I know why it flopped. It hurts to see it flop, because it really was not that bad of a movie. And
no,
if I was going to pick an MCU movie to flop, it wouldn't be this one, you know?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I agree with everything you just said. And it sucks that Brie Larson did have like 3 days to put this on Instagram, you know?
Yep.
And it's too bad. And I think Amani, who plays Miss Marvel, has a great attitude about it. She's like, look, I can control what I can control here.
I love her, her take on this whole thing. She said, this is for Bob Iger to worry about. It's not me. I'm just an actor.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly the mindset that she should have, because it's not her fault. And for what it's worth, too, on this show that we host, I thought that she was probably the strongest part of the movie, honestly.
Me too. So, I loved her. I mean, I love the Ms. Marvel show because of her, because she's such a likable and she's just like oozing charisma. And I loved her in the Marvels. I thought she stole every scene she was in.
Yep. I completely wholeheartedly agree. I thought she stole every scene that she was in. I can't wait to see her career go forward from this as well. And I don't think that will stop. I think Kevin Feige really likes her a lot.
I think so too. But
yeah,
Bob Iger has made some comments recently about the diversification of content in Disney. I don't know if you've seen it, but he was basically talking about like how diversity is killing Disney and they should really focus on sequels and franchises. And that's why they want to make Toy Story 5 and like make it a priority. And I'm just like, you can't blame the death of, you know, the arts on diversity. Like that's such a bad will take. I hope that Feige still has enough power to sway the direction of Marvel Universe heading forward, because there were news. I don't know if you saw, but they were like, oh, they're bringing back Robert Downey Jr. and Scarlett Johansson as, you know, Iron Man and Black Widow. So a lot of people that were like enraged by that. Like, why would you like tarnish their legacy after they had such a satisfying conclusion to their stories? And I agree. Yep. And then Kevin Feige was like, nope, we're not doing that. They're not coming back. It's not happening. That's just a false report.
Yeah. And if you, I don't know if you read that or if you watched it, because I actually was on Access Hollywood, which is a show here, like a late night show, not even late night show, like 7 p.m. here.
I know what it is.
Show. Yeah. You know what it is? Yeah. And my dad like was watching it and he was like, he paused and he was like, come here. And he was like, did you see this? And it was that interview, and Kevin Feige did not look happy to be answering that.
Yeah. See, knowing the media industry, I would say that's a report that came out from the Disney camp, just to test the waters, probably by, you know, order of Bob Iger or some high wig executive who was like, let's test the waters and see if the fans would be willing to accept this happening. And as soon as they saw the backlash, Kevin Feige was like, no, that's definitely not happening.
Yeah,
those reports don't come out of nowhere, you know? The leaks that the insiders get, all that stuff, it's coming from the Disney camp. It's coming
from
a reason.
Yeah, and this isn't Daniel RPK we're talking about, who has a new leak every 6 hours. This was, I think it was Variety who posted
it
that.
Was Variety,
and that's like a, probably as legitimate
it's
as
a
you
Hollywood
can
trait.
Get.
Yeah.
So
I mean, but Variety like basically tore down the MCU in their latest issue.
They did.
A couple months ago, that was like the fall of the MCU, and it was a very, very like scathing, honestly.
It even hit me.
Yeah,
it even hit me a little. Like, I can tell you now, I'm very excited for Deadpool 3. Very, very excited. There's nothing that will get in the way of that. But it's. I think of some of the projects coming up, and I'm just like, why? I miss when I was just like, hands down, excited. Like, I don't need this now. I need it right now. And I don't feel that way anymore. And to answer your preliminary question that you asked 2 minutes ago, I do think Feige will get it back. I do think he will. I just don't know when. I don't.
Honestly, I think what really hurt them was their shifting focus to Disney Plus and just making a bazillion shows at the same time and a bazillion movies. They couldn't keep up with the output. Kevin Feige can't be in charge of, executive producing every single one of these programs and all of these movies at the same time. He was stretched way too thin. And I know that Kevin has like a lot of hands-on experience monitoring these movies and making sure that the output is of high quality, and that's what I blame the Thor Love and Thunder and Quantumania and like that's what I blame it on, really. Hopefully after the SAG after strikes and the movies being like so stretched out, hopefully they will go back to the table, to the drawing board, and they'll be able to like properly, you know, pump these movies out in a good quality, because like I heard that they're, you know, doing reshoots and rewrites even to Captain America 4.
I heard and saw that too. Yeah, they weren't happy with
the fight
scenes.
That's giving me hope. That maybe maybe those rewrites will be good.
Yes, I completely agree. And people always give the studio crap whenever there's reshoots. They're like, oh, guys, there's reshoots. Oh, yeah. Man. You know, everyone here we go. Like, and I honestly, I was never afraid of reshoots, to be honest. I really wasn't. I mean, God, look, think back. You and I were doing this podcast years ago when we were talking about, remember how much of a disaster Black Panther Wakanda Forever was? Do you remember that?
Gosh, yes.
It was horrible.
And it ended up being a phenomenal movie.
Ended up being great. And so, you know,
I think people are hesitant whenever they hear the word reshoots is because, like, Josh Trank's Fantastic was such a disaster because of the reshoots, because of the studio's involvement and being like, oh, no, not enough action sequences in this. Go back to the drawing board. And that's why they had to, like, do a whole them going to the other universe. And, like, you know, we've heard the stories before. The same goes with, like, you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League bringing in Josh and doing reshoots for that. Yeah.
Yep.
So I get the hesitation. I get why that's like such a triggering word for so many people, but it's not always a bad thing. Sometimes doing a reshoot is necessary because you find a better way to tell the story or some lines aren't right. Like it happens.
It does happen. It does happen. And you know, I really hope they slow down a little bit. I mean, just yesterday I saw that there's a new Eyes of Wakanda MCU spinoff. That's you know going to be coming out in the future where a bunch
it's an animated series. Yeah.
Oh, is it animated? Interesting.
It's animated and it's supposedly coming out in 2024.
Do you think it will be animated but canon to like the MCU?
I think it's gonna be like I think what they mentioned was like it's gonna be historical. So soldiers from Wakanda throughout history going on missions to retrieve vibranium.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not excited, but it sounds cool.
In the same realm of like X-Men 97 and What If, like it's just going to be canon-ish, you know?
Canon-ish. Yeah. Yes. That's the best way you could possibly put that. Yeah. So, I mean, something else that I saw too on us, and I know because I didn't play the game and you did, so you're going to feel probably crazy, you know, Spider-Man 2, I don't know if you were paying attention, but Spider-Man 2 for PS5 won 0 awards at the Game Awards, and it was nominated
for seven
awards, and it won none.
See, it was a really big year for gaming. Honestly, Baldur's Gate swept the competition, and rightfully so. It's such a massive game. I don't blame them. I understand why it happened. I'm frustrated, of course. I think it was a wonderful game. But at the end of the day, the game sold incredibly well.
Yeah.
And we're getting a sequel. We're still getting like the third game. We're still getting the Wolverine game. They announced the Blade game. So things are really happening in the Marvel gaming universe. Recently, actually. Yeah. Insomniac, the studio that develops Spider-Man, had a massive leak. And some information has started surfacing up from it, including like what, you know, Wolverine game looks like. There was like a very low quality screenshot that looked very real. Also, there was like rumors of a Spider-Verse game being in development.
Really? So by that Insomniac. Could be very interesting.
Yeah, by Insomniac. So I'm excited. Spider-Man 3 is confirmed officially, like they're working on it already. And I don't know if Spider-Verse is going to be Spider-Man 3 or if it's going to be a separate project. But I think it would be very cool to play with like different characters in different universes with different art styles, kind of like what they did in Shattered Dimensions, that old PS3 game.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not worried. Whenever Insomniac is involved, I'm not really that concerned. I think they have a good grasp on what the audience wants and how to tell these stories, and they're really reinventing this universe in a very beautiful way.
Yeah, I agree. And going back to the Blade trailer that came out seemingly out of friggin' nowhere. I mean, that was who was it? Arcane and Bethesda, if I remember off the top of my head. They're going to be making it. Look, I won't lie. I'm super hyped. A little piece of me can't help but wish that it was Insomniac that was, you know, maybe putting. Yeah, but hey, that's okay.
Honestly, what I'm worried about with the Blade game is that there's rumors that it's going to be Xbox exclusive because Microsoft owns Bethesda now. And so, yeah, that's going to be like limited, you know, locking. I mean, I understand that Spider-Man is PS5 exclusive. And, you know, this whole exclusivity thing is a whole deal. But they asked Disney, they were like, you know, what about this game? Is it going to be exclusive to the Xbox? And they were like, that's up to Microsoft to answer. We can't really answer that. So I think it's going to be Xbox exclusive, which is, you know, a bummer, but I have a good PC. I'm going to play it anyway, so I'm good.
Yeah. That trailer really got me hyped. I really loved the, you know, first of all, it looks like it takes place in, like, Paris or something.
Paris, yeah.
And I loved the, like, the French rap at the end. Like, uh-huh. That trailer was hard. That trailer was awesome. I was amped by the end of it.
And like, I like Arkane. They developed Deathloop, which I thought was one of the best games of the past couple of years. They had a miss, like, literally last year with a vampire game, which is so funny. They released this game for Xbox, and it was a huge miss. It, like, ran terribly. It had bad AI. So I'm hoping they learned the lessons and they're, you know, making a good vampire game this time around.
Yeah, really. I know it. I think they'll pull through. We'll see. I'm excited though, and I need to look at that picture. You said it was a low quality picture of the Wolverine game. I need to see that.
Oh yeah, I'll try to send you that right now.
Yeah, stupid question, but you know, you're the gamer here. Is will the Wolverine game be PS5 exclusive too? Or is that gonna be probably for everyone? Yeah.
No, it will be PS5 exclusive, but then, you know, probably like a year or two after launch, it'll make its way to PC, just like the Spider-Man games did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Sort of staying on the subject here, I had to bring this up, and I couldn't not. It seems that Netflix is seemingly interested in reviving Zack Snyder's DC universe. What? I don't know how that could even be possible with James Gunn helming DC. It's not possible, but
I don't think it would be.
Netflix said, quote, obviously we would like to license the Zack Snyder's DC Universe movies at some point. We'd love to have it on so that fans can experience more Zack. The more Zack we have, the better we are.
I think they're just saying that's like hype up Rebel Moon, which is coming
out
very soon. And they actually had the premiere for Rebel Moon, Zack Snyder's new movie, yesterday, I think. And the early reviews are really positive, but you can't really trust those just yet. Yeah, I'm excited for it. You know, anytime there's like a space opera sci-fi movie, I'm all for it. You know me, I'm a sci-fi person. So that's my favorite kind of stuff.
And this is his
Star Wars
only movie since Justice League?
Yeah, it is.
Wow, huh? That's a long time.
It's a two-parter. This is part one, and I think part two is releasing next year.
What's the name of it one more time?
Rebel Moon.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to watch the trailer, assuming the trailer's out now.
Yeah, it's going to be out on Netflix this month, so many trailers are out.
Perfect. Okay, I'm down to look into that. I mean, why not? Yeah. So another thing, I just wanted your thoughts on this as someone who's you know, into comics and all of that. I saw that Dan Slott, who wrote in the past, you know, recently, most famously for Amazing Spider-Man, he wrote Iron Man. I'm forgetting a few other things that he wrote. Oh, Fantastic Four. He just signed a 20-year deal exclusive to Marvel, making it the largest, longest contract that Marvel has ever signed someone on for. That is crazy to me. I thought that was definitely worth talking about for a minute or two.
Honestly, I have a lot of respect for Slott and everything that he's done. You know, some of his runs may not have been as well received as others, but you can't deny his impact on the Marvel universe and all the amazing stories that he's brought forward. And I will always, always be a diehard defender because of his Silver Surfer run with Michael Moore Allred, which is like my favorite Marvel book, period.
You and I love that book so much. And it is so good. It is so good. I agree with you. I'm honestly, Dan Slott is not a writer where he comes onto a book and I buy it because he's writing it. But that being said, I think there's two people at Marvel who know continuity like the back of their hand. I think that's Tom Brevoort, and I think that's Dan Slott. And
I agree.
Yeah, and I love Dan Slott's passion for the comics that he writes. He's passionate. And 20 years is crazy. I mean, that's probably, you know, probably like the rest of his life as a writer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I
What a
mean? That's
deal.
basically, yeah. So I think there's going to be a lot more of him to, I mean, there is going to be a lot more to come when you have an exclusive contract. You know, you're signing on to so many, was it so many pages a year or so many comics a year? So expect a lot more from him. We'll see where that goes. But that, I don't know, that was just wild to me. That like blew my eyes up when I saw that. I
If
was
you
like,
could, you
whoa.
know, give that kind of deal to any comic book creator besides Jonathan Hickman, who would you give it to?
Yeah, you know me too well. Who would I give it to? I'm looking right now at some comics that I have here. You know, honestly, I'm a big Jed MacKay fan right now. I think that everything he's putting out is very quality. He cares about continuity as well. But
I
if I
agree.
really had to choose one, honestly, exclusive to Marvel, it would probably be Chip Zdarsky, honestly.
Ooh, yeah, good call. Honestly, yeah. I think that's an excellent nomination. That would be like my runner up, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, who would yours be?
I think Ram V is really bringing such a fresh voice to
Oh,
comics
wow.
and
That's
so
an, yeah.
unique. And I think that's very needed, like a breath of fresh air into the industry. And I think giving him a bunch of Marvel books would just really like let it, like allow him to reinvigorate them. And I think he'll be a great addition to the Marvel family.
Yeah. So he co-wrote Carnage with Ewing, but it didn't work out very well and he didn't stay on very long, which I don't think is if any fault to Ram. I think that was probably an editorial issue or something behind the scenes. I don't blame Ram at all for that. But I know he's killing it right now with Detective Comics for
He
Batman.
is. Yeah.
I've heard excellent things since he
Me too.
started his run. Excellent things. Like I've
And
only
like
heard
his
positive
indie
things.
stuff is also incredible. Like The Many Deaths of Lila Starr was so phenomenal.
Yeah. He you know what it is too? He writes like it's like 2004 again. And that to me is like probably like the best time period for comic books. I think I love that time. 2004, 2007, 2008, 9. He kind of writes like that a little bit where comics could
I
be a
agree.
tiny bit darker. Yeah. And I think, look, I'm a big advocate for this, and I say it with so much in my heart that I think darker comics. I don't think, you know, Spider-Man should be, you know, dark per se, besides an
No, not
arc here or there.
necessarily.
But I think that the darker a comic is, the more kind of realistic it is. I mean, we're talking about people. When you take comics, for me, it's you have people getting hurt, you have people dying, you have very
True.
bad situations, very bad people. They're
Disasters and yeah.
disasters. Yeah, you know, it's not a comics to me. I always was, and this is just me as a reader. I was always drawn more to the darker stuff because it felt a little more realistic. When you're dealing with all those dark, heavy topics, at the end of the day, you don't have a happy book in your hands, right?
Look, I'm happy to have like some lighter books on the agenda. Like I
Totally.
love Gwenpool, for example, you know. But I also like I'm getting my dose of darker superhero stories from like The Boys and Gen V. Like those are feeding me quite enough in the TV universe. And Invincible, for example, the TV show.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind a few darker comics as well. But I don't want to shit on lighter books because I think they're
No.
absolutely valid and they have their place in the universe.
I think you're right, Anas. And honestly, just using you as a soundboard right now and getting my feelings out there, if you will. I think that I have a longing for darker comics because there's just not enough right now. And that's why when you say Ram V should come over to Marvel and like do a lot here, I can't disagree with that because I just don't think there's enough like genres right now. And if you and look, a lot of great horror books out right now. Read Ghost Rider, read Blade, even read Carnage, read I'm missing a big one. Oh, Hulk. Those are all good comics that are out right now that can be consumed and you're gonna get your fix. But those are horror books. I'm talking about just like kind of darker books
Yeah.
as a whole, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
So
I agree.
yeah, no, that'd be a good one. But Ram V on like Spider-Woman would be, I think, kind of cool. I think that'd
Oh
be a
my
good
God, I would
one.
love that.
Yeah, that'd be
Like a
badass.
gritty
That'd be awesome.
detective book with cameos from Jessica Jones. That would be
Yeah.
chef's kiss.
Oh, that'd be awesome. And speaking of cameos, I know you had a
Speaking
topic
of
that you wanted to.
cameos.
Yeah, speaking of, no, I thought this was great. I want you to bring this one up and lead the charge on this one. This one's good.
Okay, so speaking of cameos, which is a great segue, Nick, James Gunn recently said that cameo porn is one of the worst elements of recent superhero films, stating that if a character is in a film, they have to have a reason to be there story-wise, and that he doesn't really mind actual cameos if it's a glimpse of or a moment or an Easter egg. What bothers him is when they mangle an elegant story by shoehorning characters in the, into the story. And I kind of agree. I think this was in response to a lot of people criticizing Superman, the new movie, because it has so many cameos in it. Like they cast Guy Gardner, they cast so many heroes. I
Yeah.
can't even keep track. I honestly lost
I
track. I think
can't
like five or
either.
six heroes at this point are announced to be like be in the movie. And so people were like, we want this to be a Superman movie, not a Justice League or Justice Society movie. And that's why he hit back with this. And what do you think? What are your thoughts on this statement?
Yeah, so I for the most part, I completely agree with you. I had a similar thought process because it seemed like every other week. Honestly,
Yeah.
like every other week, there was news of this person's cast in Superman. This person's
Yep.
cast, and it's beyond like Lex Luthor being cast. It's
Yeah.
like this these obscure characters I don't know, which is all fine and dandy. But also, there is a little piece of me that's like, okay, we're gonna have probably a 2 hour, 25 minute movie. We'll see how long it is. James Gunn doesn't make long movies. Yeah, I don't know. I had the same thought process. So it's good to see him getting ahead of it and saying, "Well, hey, look, these are my thoughts." And I do trust James Gunn. I do. So we'll see.
I
You
mean,
know
he
what?
said that, but then again, he did praise The Flash for being like one of the better superhero movies of recent times,
So,
and that one was like cameo
and you know
galore.
what, buddy, he made me eat my words on that one. I remember he said it's the best superhero movie he had ever seen. And I remember being like, him and Kevin Feige, when they speak and say something like that, I listen. I listen and I take it to heart. James Gunn said like two equivalent things to about that movie, like it's the best superhero movie he's ever seen, something. And I was like, wow, this is going to be amazing. And I left the theater and I was like,
What the
that
hell was
wasn't
that?
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
Honestly, for
now,
me, I went in with like very low expectations and somehow
okay,
came out
fair.
the other end with even lower results.
Oh geez. Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna
I
take a
hated
positive
it.
twist on
I
that.
hated it.
I didn't like it either. And I don't know. I thought it was look, it was fine for what it was. I could see the general audience liking it, but even they didn't like it.
Yeah.
So now James Gunn, it pains me that these words have to come out of my body, but James Gunn has lost a little bit of credibility now when he says things. So
Look, I get why
I
he
don't
said
know.
that because he wanted to promote the movie. He's the head of DC. He has to say something nice. He's not going to come out here and be
I
like, oh,
get
yeah, The
that.
Flash, it's okay. He has to say it's
Right.
a great movie because he wants people to go see it.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping that with the statement here, like with the cameo thing, maybe like he'll be a bit more, like he'll hold back on making Superman just like, a DC Universe setting up movie to set up the
Yeah.
Justice League because we don't need that. We really need individual stories about these characters to see them grow and to actually care about them. We need to grow
Right.
with these characters and connect to them so we can, so when they collaborate and when they come together, we feel that sense of awe,
Yes,
Growing Superman
yes.
into an already filled universe with heroes and just having them drop in, drop out, it's not going to have the same hit to it, especially for the general
No, it's
audiences who
not.
don't even know who Guy Gardner is.
No, they don't even know. And honestly, James Gunn has said this. He's like, I think I am more strategic and I have more of a schedule than Marvel did with how I'm going to build this universe. To me, what kind of made Marvel special was that you had individual superheroes all having their own movies, not intertwined, it seemed at all. We
Yep.
just knew that they were in the same, and then they all came together. And then that spark blew up, and then from now on, they were all connected. It seems
I
like he's
agree.
taking just like an expedited approach to building a universe, much like Zack Snyder did. And I hate to compare them, and
I
I'm
mean,
not really doing that, but
we're starting the DC Universe with that Commandos show. Like, I don't know
Yeah.
how that's setting up,
Yeah.
Like,
I
it's
don't
Creature
know either.
Commandos, DC animated series. That's gonna be the launch of the new DC Universe.
That's
That's
canon.
weird.
Yeah.
That's canon. And it's gonna be launching the new universe. That's weird to me.
Yeah, that's weird to me. Look, I love Guardians 3 that Gunn did. I
Me
didn't
too.
like his Suicide Squad, to be honest. I didn't really like it.
I
So
thought it was better than the first one, but it wasn't like a massively, you know, fantastic movie in my opinion.
Definitely better than David Ayer's. No question about that. That movie just wasn't good.
Yeah.
But look, we'll see. I do have to ask you, though. The fanboy in me has to ask you this. And I think I know your answer. Because James Gunn also said, and I love how James Gunn talks to the fans. He's like, yeah, I won't lie. He said this the other day. He was like, when people fan cast, you know, specific characters in the DCU, I do kind of think of it a little bit sometimes. And I'll think about it in the sense that, like, you know, he's not going to contemplate actually doing it. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But as a whole, he does think about it. Would you love to see Jensen Ackles as Batman?
Honestly, yeah, after seeing him as Soldier Boy and The Boys, I can see him pulling off Batman for sure.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like it was your go-to.
He's not my go-to, no, but like even Robert Pattinson was my go-to, and he ended up being a not-so-bad Batman, so, you know.
I agree.
I've been wrong before.
Fair. Yep, very fair. I would love to see it. I mean, that's the only exposure I have to Jensen Ackles is Soldier Boy, but I loved Soldier Boy's one of my favorite TV characters, like, at the moment. So, I don't know. It's very cool. I can't wait for more news about the DCU to come out because I'm very just, like, intrigued by it. I don't know what James Gunn's planning. Superman movie is going to be different. Well, like, let's see kind of how it goes, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We really have, like, a big year ahead of us. You know, in terms of MCU, it's a little bit dialed back. So far we have confirmed releases. We have Deadpool, we have What If coming out in December, and we have X-Men 97, Agatha Darkhold Diaries, and what else am I missing? Eyes of Wakanda.
We have Echo next month. Yeah.
Oh, Echo, true. Yeah, Echo next month. So not a lot of Marvel content. They're a lot more sporadically, you know, releasing throughout the next year. So we'll see how DC pulls in 2025 for its favor. Maybe this will, you know, be the year that it topples everything.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. And we are here every step of the way. So, you know, I think that's a great way to close out the episode. Anas, anything before we go?
Nope, all good. Yeah, I'm just really excited for next year. And I hope, you know, we'll come back and we'll chat about What If when it comes out. And hopefully we'll get some nice episodes from that show, even if they're not really canon. But, you know, hopefully some fun concepts.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, yeah, with that, we will bring this episode to a close. Thank you so much. If you're an old-time listener, thank you so much for tuning in for another episode. Only two more left for 2023, and one of those will be a Geekable Awards show, which we've done since, you know, Geekable was created, just wrapping up our favorite comics and least favorite comics, you know, cover art, best artist, all those cool genres. We're doing an award show probably next week or the week after, so stay tuned for that. And if you're a new listener, thank you so much for coming and joining us here today. We hope we will see you next time. If you're interested, please follow Geekable_podcast on Instagram for daily updates, all good comic talk, MCU talk, DCU talk, just everything as well. And we are now on TikTok as well. Please check us out, Geekable Podcast. Thank you so much, guys, and we will see you next time. Have a good one.